first words. What's in your heart in abundance? Now, the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, a lot of forgiveness is involved in that. You don't start with the prayer of agreement. In the 18th chapter, I mean, if you're going into an agreement situation and you're going to make an agreement, you're going to write down an agreement, you need to read the whole 18th chapter. Well, we're interested tonight in this prayer. Now, you come down, and there's something I want you to see here. Again, I say unto you, in the 19th verse. Again, I say unto you. So this is not the first time he taught this. So now back up. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. This is an agreement. You can't have an agreement just with one person. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why? To carry out that agreement. I mean, he's there. He's here right now. Well, Gloria and I learned a whole lot about this over the years. And we would pray and set ourselves in agreement with some. But we didn't just say, well, what do you think? No, you discuss this. You take time to talk about it. Now, Gloria, what do you think about this situation? What do you have on your heart about it? What is the Lord telling you about it? Any husband and wife ought to be the most powerful agreement to. I mean, you ought to. The devil ought not be able to get away with anything in your household, particularly anything financial. Money's the easy part. Amen. If you know the laws of it and where the angels are involved in it. Anyway, well, let me take a moment with that. You watch Nancy Dufresne? Boy, isn't she just dynamite? Well, her husband, Ed. I knew Ed before I knew Nancy. Yeah, Ed and I go way back. Well, back in the day, and I've told you this before, but I want you to see this because it has to do with the angels part of this, and they're part of the prayer. The church that they had at the time, the property had become much more valuable. And the bank did not want them to have it. They would not give them any more extensions. They were not going to let them have any more. They wanted that property back, and they just wanted that church out of there. So they had been praying about it. He was preaching in another city, and this is back when, you know, hotels didn't have the kind of keys that they have there. I mean, they were actual physical keys. And he heard the key in the door. And he thought, the hotel has given somebody my key. And he was dressing, he was preparing. So he just walked around to see. And when he walked around in the living room part of that room, the ceiling disappeared. And there were two angels standing there. That if the ceiling hadn't disappeared, their head and shoulders would have been out through the ceiling. And they were standing there like this. He said, who are you? They said, we are your prosperity angels. We've come to help you get the money for the church. He said, well, what are you waiting on? They said, the command. He said, go. And they just disappeared. Well, they were up to the deadline. They had to have $500,000. And he and his lawyer were there in his office, and his secretary came in and said, there's a man I want to talk to you. And Ed said, no, no. She said, you want to talk to this one? He came in his jogging suit. He was a lawyer. He walked in there. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I've heard you preach and you scare me. But here's $300,000. Well, that's what the bank wanted to hold it. So he was in another area. They still needed $200,000. And the pastor was receiving the offering, and this lawyer was dressing on the front row. And so Ed was back here. That's somewhere another way he could get his eye. And he pointed at him, so, and Ed was saying, no, he's already given, he's already. But the pastor didn't see that. He said, what about you, sir? He got up and he said, well, I got to repent. He said, the Lord said 500,000, I disobeyed, here's the other. You better be careful about what you say about situations like that. You want to stay right on line. And do you know what they call Pastor George? Captain Confession. I wish they called me that. If I'd have thought of that, I'd have called myself that. He's Captain Confession. When that blew up in my back, I never did. I would not allow myself to say. I did say this one time. I said, Lord, why? How long? How long? He said, when you give me something to work with, that's how long. Well, I had to square off and get it. I said, I repent, sir. I will not let that get in my mouth. Well, I continued to do that, and there was a man contacted me, and he talked to me about a stem cell situation. So I went into prayer, and I prayed about it for some time. I listened to the Lord about it, and I prayed over it and prayed over it. Now, you need to be careful with these kind of situations. You don't want to go into it without prayer, particularly if you don't know who that person is. You may be just squirting water up your spine for $10,000. It happens. I prayed about it, and David checked in on it and checked and looked into it. And every time I prayed about it, finally I said, Lord, I believe this is you. He said, it is. Go ahead. And that was over a period of weeks and weeks. So I went. And I don't mind telling you, for a little bit there, oh, sister, oh, brother, oh, dear Lord. Because my spine had come into spinal stenosis and had gotten, there wasn't room enough for it. And there was a considerable amount of it. I'm telling you, it was painful. I had to be very cautious of what came out of my mouth. They said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing wonderfully well. I am a healed man, thank you. And they put me in a wheelchair and rolled me out to that door, and I laughed all the way to the door. Ha, 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 glory to God. Glory to God. I said, let me out of this thing. I'm going to get to the car like that. Yeah. 4 months to the day the pain stopped. Because of the stem cells? No. No. Because of the abundance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the angels of God put me with a man that was just about ready to retire. And he was a retired Air Force medical doctor.
Amen.
And he was Catholic. And he came in one time And he said, I want to ask you something. I said, what? And he asked me a question, and I answered it. And he said, glory to God. I knew that's what you'd say. So here I get to minister to the man. And then he retired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First words. Now, what about agreement? Well, I mean, there is agreement. Of course, we've been having agreements with this operation here for 42 years. They know us and we know them. But you come in here and they say, well, Eric, all right, we're going to have this much, and this much, and the air conditioning is going to operate so many hours a day, and you have access to the building, and this, and that, and there's going to be these people and this people. Say, yeah, we agree to that. You agree to this? Yeah, we agree to that. You agree to that? Yeah. And you're going to have this many $1,000s on that ball? We sure hope so. Forget it. There's no agreement.
That's right.
Now, listen to what this says in the Amplified. This is just so amazing to me. But this is what it takes. I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them of my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, followers in and into my name, there am I in the midst. Into my name. His name is at the bottom line of this thing. Hallelujah. Well, I was teaching on this again there in Shreveport. And Joe Mumford was there. And he was in the young people's ministry. Good singer. Had a great voice. And I was believing God for the money on 2618 golf. I knew that airplane. I knew it was ours. And this is where I started. This is the way the first 5,000 came. It was on this. So, I said, Joe, I've been teaching on this, same way I'm teaching you. I said, let's make us an agreement covenant. Yeah, what about? I said, I'm believing God for a certain amount of money. I said, here, $25. He took it. We prayed over it. And so, I don't know, a couple of days right there in the meeting, there's a woman just walked up to me and said, Brother Copeland, I just believe the Lord wants me to just hand you $500 cash for whatever it is you're believing for. I said, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. 2618 golf coming right in this pocket right here.
Amen. Amen.
So I went over to Joe and I said, Joe, I'll tell you right now, I want to appreciate this, man. I said, that covenant of ours, that agreement covenant? He said, yeah. I said, it produced $500. He said, glory to God. He said, there ain't nothing I can do with $25. Let's make another one. He said, I've got some bills I got to pay. And so we went through the whole thing again, and we agreed with one another, and we put it down on paper, and we agreed, and we prayed, and we're in agreement. The next day, there was a woman in the church came around there and said, Brother Joe Mumford, she said something like this, said, you know, we should be supporting you better. She said, my husband and I decided we just need to give you and Sherry $2,500.
Okay. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
He came around there with me. He said, you still got that $25? I said, yeah. He said, don't spend it. We can make a living off of this thing. We'll just keep making that same covenant. It works.
Amen.
But you have to be in agreement. You can't start thinking, well, I wonder if this is going to make... No, that's not an agreement. Have you ever been to a symphony concert You ever, when they tune up, you kind of have to hold your ears like this while they tune up. That's a nasty sounding thing. That's most Christians' agreement. Because there's so much strife to start with that there's no agreement there. Well, what happens when that conductor says, and the symphony comes. And to me, there's nothing quite like a big symphony orchestra that is really good, that has all the pieces, all the different kind of viol instruments, all the way from the violin to the big bowed bass and the cello and everybody all at once. And the whole place is filled with those sounds that you cannot get out of any one of those instruments alone. The piano is the only one that can make all the sounds at once. And that when they all quit and the piano plays, you wonder where everybody went. Agreement. Everybody in agreement. And everybody, listen, everybody in tune. They are all agreeing with one another. And some clown over there that decides he wants to solo, that this might be his chance to get discovered, and he'll blow the whole symphony. And on the first break, he's going to hear it from that director. What's the matter with you? How about you just sit the next one out? Or how about you just don't come back? What did Jesus say? Whatever they shall ask. It's important that both ask and both agree. I remember Brother Hagin talking about this couple. They had a lot of property and a lot of houses, and they were in agreement. They set agreement up about these different houses, and they began to sell when they'd been on the market a while, and they began to sell, and all except this one, and it just didn't work. They kept going over their agreement, and it just didn't work, and they discussed it, and it just didn't work, and finally they just got serious. He said, "Oh, are we in agreement?" She said, "Well, I'd kind of like to keep that house." Hey, what? She wasn't in agreement, and anybody wanted it. So they discussed it. She decided yes, and they got in agreement, and there was a contract on the house. This is important. You can set yourself in agreement on household matters, and particularly when you have children and you treat your children in love, but you're a solid front where they're concerned. Mm-hmm. And Kelly would come in, and all children think it's something new. And every parent in here has been through it if you've got two.
That's right.
Or more. if Mama says we can go, can it go? I don't know. I haven't talked to Mama. Well, if she says we can go, can I go? I don't know. That is so frustrating. Well, why don't you talk to her? I don't know that I want to talk to her. You know, just because that's kind of mean. But what do? You go find out. What do you think about that, Gloria? You know anything about those people? You know anything about their home? Well, no, I don't, not really. Well, I just soon John and Kelly not go over there not knowing any more than we do. She said, I agree. So we're going to have this discussion again. If Mama says we can go, we can go. Yeah, that's a good day. If she says you can go, you can go. You go in there and say, if Daddy says we can go, can we go? And she said, yeah, if Daddy says you can go, we can go. And he come back in there, we can go. I said, what are you talking about? She didn't say you could go, and I'm not saying you could go. How did you know? I said, you know how we know. We discussed it. You always do that. And John came up to me one time. He was so disgusted. He came over there to me and he said, Daddy, how come you always know what I'm thinking before I think it? I said, because I thought it before you ever did, boy. I know what you're thinking. I've already been there. And what I'm doing to you, my daddy did to me. I said, well, if you want to. Now I'll tell one on John and Alex, his daughter. He told her to do something. She said, why? He said, because I'm boss. She said, I want to be boss. He said, not today. But you don't start this thing out of agreement. And it may come to the point, if it's something, you know, worthy of it, that you bring the whole family, you know, and you get the book out.
Yeah.
Well, we want to go to the movie with those children. So-and-so kids from school. Are we going to come to an agreement on this or not? You don't take these things lightly.
Right.
And you have to teach on the level. I wish I'd have known this early on, that I learned later, that you teach this agreement and you teach it for the family. Mm. Now, Kelly and John fussed all the time. But we'd get down to believing something they wanted. They came to me one time, Kelly said, Daddy, we want a boat. I said, okay. But I said, I'll tell you what. You and John are going to believe for it. And my mom and I won't get out of agreement, but you're going to have to use your faith. We'll just agree with you, but it's going to be your faith. Well, they wrote out an agreement. That's what we taught them to do. And Kelly wrote it out, and John scribbled a name underneath the bottom. Well, they tacked it up on the refrigerator. And they'd come by, and they'd say, thank you, Jesus, for the boat. Now, hey, that's a good idea. Put some stick-ups on the cabinets all over the house. I talked to one. Well, I'll tell you who it was, Bill Winston. He and Veronica was believing something. And he said those, this while he was in seminary in Tulsa. And he said, don't stick them. He said, I raised up the toilet lid and there was one stuck on there. You got to confess it when you come in the bathroom. And it worked just exactly like the petition. Because, see, the agreement is part of the petition prayer now. Are you getting anything? You're seeing how this works. And faith has to work all the way through this thing. And the faith comes from what Jesus said in the book. It will be done of my Father. It shall. And that's the strongest you can say in the English language. It will be done.
The prayer of the believer isn't a one-way monologue. It's an intimate fellowshipping with your Heavenly Father that takes hold of the promises He's given you. Get Kenneth Copeland's book, Prayer, Your Foundation for Success, and help transform your prayer life to see results every time. God is as ready and willing to answer your prayers as He was Jesus. When you pray according to His Word, your circumstances change. Your prayers will turn sickness into health, poverty to abundance, and sorrow to joy. Discover the different types of biblical prayer and the weapons of your warfare so you can use them to walk in victory. He's given you authority in Christ. Learn to pray in faith from that place of authority and access all of heaven's resources. You can have a fruitful prayer life with every hindrance to receiving removed and walk in the success God has for you. Experience a life of peace and joy through a closer relationship with God. In Prayer, Your Foundation for Success, a book by Kenneth Copeland, available in paperback or digital download. Request your free copy today on kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. The world around you may be speaking negative and going down the path of fear and destruction. But as God's children, we can live in an entirely different system, the kingdom of God, where there is life, healing, and abundance. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." There's the world's way of doing things, and there's God's way of doing things and being right. God's thoughts and his ways are higher, and when his word goes forth, it does not return unto him void, but it accomplishes that which he pleases and prospers in the things he sent it. You can turn to good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and change systems. It's as simple as choosing Jesus and making him the Lord and Savior of your life. Pray with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Praise God. You are born again, child of God and a citizen of heaven. For some of you, this decision may have felt like a reset button, but the Bible explains it this way. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation, and old things have passed away and all things have become new. This is your fresh start to live a life of victory. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to send some free resources called the Salvation Package. It includes this book, He Did It All for You, and some information to help guide you in reading and studying your Bible. Start learning what belongs to you as God's child. Begin to fill your heart with God's word by reading your Bible and spending time with him. Take hold of the promises he has for you and let faith build in your heart. To get your free copy of the Salvation Package, go to kcm.org. We want to know your story. Email or call us today and share your testimony of the good things God has done in your life. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you called the Salvation Package. Learn who you are in Jesus and what belongs to you as a child of God. Request your free package on kcm.org/salvation.